You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last Thursday, the coalition government revealed its annual budget for 2024. While the government highlighted its efforts to lower income tax and expenditure, the budget came under fire from many for what they say were cuts that would put our public services under even greater pressure and created disappointing outcomes for Maori and marginalized communities across Aotearoa that they say failed to uphold the government's obligations under Te Tiriti o Waitangi. For our weekly catch-up, I spoke to the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez-March to talk about Budget 2024 with a specific focus on the areas of environmental conservation, tax and Te Tiriti obligations. So the government recently announced Budget 2024, and there are numerous aspects of the budget to address, so we'll go through some of the most pressing ones individually. Firstly, the budget announcement revealed that massive amounts of funding towards environmental protection and conservation programs had been cut, namely job cuts at the Ministry for the Environment, funding reduction for freshwater programs, the introduction of the Fast Track Approvals Bill and Resource Management Act amendments, amongst many other aspects of the budget that concern the environment. So what does the Green Party have to say about this?
Oh, look, we've been really clear that this is simply just not a serious government that takes all the evidence on climate change and environmental protection seriously. And the reality is, lack of environmental protections will have a huge cost for our communities down the track, both because we'll lose biodiversity that will be really hard to recover, but it has impacts too when it comes to our health, the state of our waterways, and those are things that actually end up costing money down the track. I mean, this is what we've been saying for a long time. There's simply no economy on the dead planet, and a government that doesn't take environmental protection seriously is a government that doesn't think of future generations and the land that they'll be living on.
The budget also confirmed the government's decision to end ring fencing for the Climate Emergency Response Fund and that investment in climate initiatives would now be considered through the usual budget process. So what do you have to say about that?
Once again, we've got a Prime Minister who keeps talking about how he's committed to meeting our climate targets. But in action, what we are seeing is a departure from investment in climate initiatives. The reality, too, is that this just shows that this is actually a climate denialist government, right? We've got a reduction in climate initiatives, no commitment into a decent increase in public transport infrastructure. And at the same time, we've got ministers of government who are excited about new coal mines, showing once again that this is not a government that takes climate action seriously and is actually pandering to climate denialist rhetoric and putting future generations at risk when New Zealand could take the global lead when it comes to taking climate action and put pressure on other countries who have high emissions economies to do their part too.
In spite of the cuts to environmental protection and conservation agencies, the government has also announced the continuation of funding for some initiatives that include but are not limited to electric vehicle charging infrastructure, a fund for decarbonizing public transport and purchasing electric buses, an on-farm emission measurement scheme, and the Warmer Kiwi Homes program. So I wanted to ask, do you think that the initiatives the government is continuing will have a positive impact on conservation and emissions goals?
When it comes to climate action, you simply can't act like climate denialist in one part of the economy and then sprinkle a few token climate initiatives in the other part. You have to take it seriously across the board. For example, when it comes to electric vehicles, we have to acknowledge that the biggest emissions reduction part of the transport system are about public transport infrastructure. EVs on their own won't stop climate change. And this is why we need climate action taken seriously across the board, not just tokenistically done in the EV space, for example, which is what the National Party has loved to do while they celebrate the reopening of coal mines. And so, no, I still don't think this is a government that takes climate action seriously. And once again, the evidence and all the research would go against everything the government is trying to do when it comes to the opening of coal mines, doing bottom trawling in our oceans, and much more.
Lastly, on the topic of the environment in the budget, how would you respond to Minister of Climate Change Simon Watts' statement saying that Aotearoa was on track to meeting its emissions reduction goals in spite of all the recently proposed cuts.
Well, we were on track to meet those goals because of the action that was taken by previous government, which the Greens have already said that we could have gone a lot further and faster when it came to climate action. And this is a government that will be undermining our moves towards meeting our climate targets. And beyond all, this is about New Zealand taking leadership on the global stage when it comes to climate action, because that puts us in a position to better pressure other countries who are not doing their part. And it requires every country to do their part if we're actually going to prevent far more disastrous extreme weather events, which we are already seeing, and that are having huge costs in the economy and livelihoods of people, including displacing communities, which we are already seeing happening in Aotearoa with the extreme weather events of last year.
Okay, moving on to the next aspect of the budget. The government also confirmed it would be implementing its tax relief package, which the coalition says would generate savings for around 1.9 million households in Aotearoa. What's your opinion on the tax relief package, and do you think it'll have an impact on the cost of living?
Yeah, look, I spent quite a few hours debating the tax package, and we were up until Saturday midnight in Parliament discussing some of these bills that got introduced last week. The evidence showed that, consistent in line with the government's approach, that those who are doing it the toughest will receive the least when it comes to tax relief. And in fact, some families on the benefit will be worse off as a result of the changes to the tax system. The reality is that this is a government that has chosen to give cake to those at the top and breadcrumbs to everyone else. And the money that is not being invested in places like health, for example, will have huge costs later down the line. We've also seen that the lack of investment in public housing and health, coupled with breadcrumbs with this tax cuts, will mean that child poverty will remain stagnant. And the finance minister herself has acknowledged that they don't expect to see significant changes in child poverty in the next few years. The reality is 60,000 children are waking up in poverty in Aotearoa. And to simply think that this is an acceptable figure talks of a government that is comfortable with children living in poverty when we need a government that is committed to ending it.
In their official tax plan document, National have effectively said that tax brackets under Labour squeezed the middle class, that previous income tax brackets were eating away at the income of average New Zealanders, and went as far as to say that minimum wage workers would fare better under their tax plan. How would you respond to that?
Well, we've got a government that is making access to medicines more expensive, is increasing the price of public transport, has no plans to limit how much rents can go up by, so some people will get a few dollars extra when it comes to weekly tax cuts, but their life will continue becoming more expensive in basically every other part of their life. So at the end of the day, this is not a sustainable cost of living relief. And this is why the Green Party campaigned on a $10,000 tax-free threshold, but with a commitment to tax wealth to ensure that we can continue investing in our public infrastructure and deliver changes that would see your children lifted out of poverty, which is what I think we need right now. We need bold actions to tackle all of these long-term problems, not short-term interventions that actually only make things worse down the track.
Finance Minister Nicola Willis recently addressed the $4.9 billion tax cut for landlords and justified it by saying that while it hadn't reduced average rent in Aotearoa, it slowed down the rate that average rent would increase at and therefore had effectively achieved some of its goals. How would you respond to that?
I mean, this is a government that is relying on trickle-down economics, hoping that if you give money to the mega landlords, some of them who own, you know, 70 properties, that they'll somehow more generously and not put unsustainable rent increases on people. But the thing is, rents are already far too high, and we need better controls to limit how much rents can go up by each year so that people's incomes actually go up at a faster rate than rents are going up right now. The reality is that many people will continue not being able to afford their rent, getting into debt with the agencies that are supposed to help them, like Work and Income, just to put a roof over their head. And so we simply don't buy the failed trickle-down economics that have been, again, disproven by many academics and actually just the experience of people growing up in the 80s, 90s who experienced neoliberalism. And this is a government that doesn't care about tenants and is quite comfortable with mega landlords continue pocketing people's money at the expense of families struggling to make ends meet.
So lastly, on this particular area of focus, I'm aware that the Green Party has their own tax plan. So could you tell us a little bit about that?
So we went into the election proposing a $10,000 tax-free threshold, and that would be balanced by creating a tax on wealth for people who own assets that are over $2 million. What this would enable us to do is not just ensure that people actually have a greater tax relief than what the National Party is proposing, but that we can continue investing in public transport and health, on ending poverty. And these are the political choices that people are able to make. The government can choose to end poverty or to give tax breaks to mega landlords, whereas we think actually the priority should be on climate action, ending poverty, while still being able to allow people to actually keep more of their money each week so that they can actually thrive, not just be surviving as they are right now.
Moving on to the last area of the budget that we're going to be covering, there are numerous concerns about the budget and its obligations under Te Tiriti or Waitangi. Would you be able to tell us about the Green Party's position or concerns regarding that?
Yeah, look, Te Tiriti is a document that should be uniting us, that gives Tangata Te Tiriti and new migrants like myself a place here in Aotearoa, while the government is using it to divide us. We've seen how the government intends to undermine Māori wards. And it shows the hypocrisy of a government that will specifically target Māori and target Māori wards and local government when we have other wards that work similarly, for example, like rural wards. And this is a government that has used Māori rights as a way to divide our communities, whereas we think actually when we enhance Māori rights, when we acknowledge our history, actually we're better able to tackle the long-term challenges that we face. And we also amends the mistakes of the past, which many governments have chosen to continue to ignore, which has led to greater inequality in Aotearoa for Māori and non-Māori alike.
In spite of the scrapping of Māori wards, the Māori Health Authority, and cuts to initiatives designed to specifically improve outcomes for Māori, Nicola Willis has said that the budget focused more on Māori needs than targeted Māori funding, and has justified this claim by highlighting the areas of the budget going into health services and education. How would you respond to that?
Well, Nicola is conveniently ignoring the evidence she has received, which shows many of the bills introduced near the budget will not benefit as much groups like Māori, Pacifica, and other communities that have faced disproportionate poverty. And so Nicola just needs to look at her own advice to realize that many Māori living in poverty will benefit the least from this tax cut. And if this is a government that was focused on needs, they would be putting in bold reforms to end poverty, not just give tax cuts to the mega landlords. This is simply a government that is not serious. And it's a government that will undermine Māori rights while pretending to focus on need, while at the same time doing the least to focus on issues like poverty, public housing, and the many long-term challenges that people experiencing poverty face. So I simply don't buy it, and I think Nicola Willis needs to look at her own papers rather than just spin things that are not in the budget.
Shifting the focus away from national for a second, what does the Green Party think of Te Pāti Māori's calls for a separate Māori parliament?
There's an important conversation that needs to have on a separate Māori parliament, and many grassroots leaders have been clear that people will continue imagining a future beyond parliament. Our role as representatives from the Kawanatanga is to continue doing the work in that space, enabling grassroots activists to work towards Matika Mai and a future beyond the systems that we have. And so I'm really clear that those of us in parliament have a role to play in ensuring that the Crown fulfills its obligations to Te Tiriti o Waitangi, while we also commit to supporting the grassroots movements to work towards a completely different constitutional transformation, and that does need to happen. So we're supportive of calls that are coming from the grassroots for completely different systems.
Finally, the strike called for by Te Pāti Māori last Thursday drew thousands of protesters from across Aotearoa to campaign against the government's policies related to Māori. Do the Greens have any similar calls to action regarding the government's environmental policies?
This Saturday at 12 p.m., people are welcome to join us in Aotearoa Square for the March for Nature on the 8th of June. And this is really clear that the March for Nature is also a march for the rights of Te Tiriti, because ultimately, when we don't uphold Te Tiriti or Waitangi, we enable the destruction of land that was confiscated that is now held by the government. And so this is an opportunity to connect all the dots and to ensure that people are aware of why honouring nature is also honouring Te Tiriti.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.